I was thinking too, Chris Fuentes is in our congregation, who is the new principal of EAA, Chris, and I meant to grab Rob's shirt, or I should say coat tail there, and say I got a request, but he had his meeting too quickly, but we'll keep you in prayer. I know that that's a burden on your heart, and that's a big task, but the Lord equips who he calls. So we're with you. God bless you, Chris. We're glad you're here. Let's pray together. Father, I want to thank you for this moment. I want it to be yours entirely. I relinquish to you that we could see and hear Jesus clearly. Thank you for this powerful message, Lord. It's incredible. So take charge now so that when we leave here, we will be different because we spent that time with you and not me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. How many of you have played Capture the Flag? Well, that's fun, Capture the Flag. You know, you got two teams in a large field. And down the middle of the field is an imaginary line, or you can put a rope there. But I'm only talking about a big distance. And then you choose two sides, and then there's a flag on both ends of the field. And the team on this side of the imaginary line or the rope have to defend that flag and keep this team from getting to the flag, grabbing it, and running across the line before you capture them. And of course, this team on this side of the line, they have their flag back there with a couple guards watching over it inside a little circle. And their job is to keep you from crossing that line and getting into their side and getting their flag and going. And I can remember very distinctly playing that game a lot in Duluth, Minnesota, when I was a church school teacher there. Kevin played with me. He was one of my students. You know, the guy who just played the guitar. And what amazed me about that game, we used to play Leif Erickson Park there, right on Lake Superior. What a beautiful park. In fact, it was where we played, there was a bowl just like this. An imaginary line was in the middle, and both teams were on the hillside, and the flags were up there. And what amazed me, I never forget this. What amazed me about that game is everybody sort of sits there like this along the line, you know, except for the couple guards watching the flag. Everybody's on the line. And every once in a while, somebody will go like this, you know. And then the other team, the other side, well, they'll go like that, you know. And you sort of move around. It goes on like that, you know. Just moves a little bit. Some, they go. You know, like that. We do that. It's incredible. All of a sudden, somebody would break out and they would cross that line. And I mean, they would head either straight for the flag or straight for the jail to try to get someone from their side who was already captured and sitting in a certain spot in jail. And the minute that person stepped over that line, all pandemonium broke loose. I mean, as soon as you went that direction, maybe because you were trying to get someone out of jail, then a whole bunch of this team would head for you. And the minute they did that, some of your team would go this way because then they were trying to get the flag. But some of the smart ones on the other side standing here, they'd head in there to try to get the flag. People were running everywhere. I mean, one person would cross the line, all pandemonium broke loose. You know what I'm talking about? Clearly see it. That's exactly what happens. Somebody would finally break out. They'd fly in all directions. Now, what does this have to do with the Jabez prayer? I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles, and I'll tell you what it has to do with the Jabez prayer. 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, and this is the 4th and final in a series on the Jabez prayer. 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, that historical book right after 1 and 2 Kings. And let's see how this relates to the game Capture the Flag. Do you have Chronicles? I hope you turn to it with me. I'm going to read the prayer first. And I'm going to review just a little bit. And then I'll tell you what it has to do with this game. You have Chronicles, the 1 Chronicles chapter 4, 9 and 10. Notice what it says here. And Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez because I bore him in pain, she said. Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, that thou would keep me from harm, that it may not pain me. And God granted him what he requested. Now let me stop right there for a moment, and I want to do this first for everybody who's in here. If you haven't been here for the rest of the series, then it would be well worth you coming today just to know this, that Jabez, he lived in the time of the judges, and the book of Judges says no one was calling upon the name of the Lord. No one. Okay? But we're told here that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Meaning blood brothers as well as church brothers. Because he called upon the name of the God of Israel. You see? He did something no one else was doing, and that's why he was more honorable. And folks, you've got to understand this. He did this in spite of the fact that his name memorialized the contempt his mother had for him. Imagine that if you would. His name meant pain. His mother gave him a name that condemned him and doomed him for his life. Everywhere he went, they looked at him and thought, Jabez, who gave you that name? My mother gave me. Why in the world would your mother call you pain? And so we see that he was more honorable because, one, he called upon the name of the Lord, and two, he did it in spite of the circumstances surrounding him, the environment he found himself in. He did it. Incredible story. So you can walk out of here right now and you've learned a lesson that'll make you a better Christian person if that's all that we do today. But you see, what he did was he prayed a four-part prayer. And the first thing he said was, Oh, that you would bless me indeed. That's the first part. Then he said, That you will increase my border. You will expand my boundaries, that my influence would be greater. And then he said that your hand, Lord, would be with me. And then he closes his prayer with this incredible utterance where he says that thou would keep me from harm. The King James says that thou might keep me from evil. And I want to tell you here and now that Jabez shows the depth of his understanding by uttering such a closing to his prayer. For you see, here's what Jabez is teaching us. That the minute you step over that line, all pandemonium will break loose, you see. Because, number one, we are in enemy's territory. You know that? I want you to listen. In fact, I want our young people to listen. Our children, they need to hear this. They need to understand this. That God is looking for individuals like Jabez who will step over the line. But you need to understand, as Jabez did, the minute you step over the line, all pandemonium will break loose. Why? Because that is the enemy's territory. And until you stir up the hornet's nest, it's no threat to you. But the minute you do, you're in trouble. And so you see, who's the alpha of this world? Take a look at John 12:31. Let's go to John 12:31. Why did Jabez end his prayer with that you would keep me from evil? Because he understood what we need to learn today that'll make us better Christians and more successful in this church as individuals, as family members, and as a church for our community. John 12:31. Notice what it says. By the way, I'll just read 30 anyway. Jesus just had an interview with the Greeks. The Greeks came to the temple and they said, we want to see you because we believe you're something special. And then God spoke from heaven in honor of this occasion And Jesus said to those standing around, "This voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world shall be cast out." Who's the alpha of this world? Satan. That's right. Satan is the alpha of this world. And when you step over the line, all pandemonium will break loose because he does not want you breaking out. He doesn't care how much you run around along the front of the line. He only cares when you step over the line. And that's why Jabez ended his prayer by saying that you would keep me from evil, because the minute you start blessing me, the minute you increase my border, and if you start holding my hand, all pandemonium is going to break loose, and I need you to keep me from evil. And so that's what this has to do with that incredible game. The minute someone breaks loose, the minute someone steps over the line, the minute someone starts moving to the mark, everything is riled up. Notice John 14, verse 30. Just move through John 14, verse 30. I love this. We have to understand this. Young people, you've got to understand this. Jesus is just before his crucifixion. He's trying to get his disciples ready for what they're going to witness. They have no idea what's shortly going to transpire. He says in 29, "Now I have told you before it comes to pass, that when it comes to pass you may believe. I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me." You see? The ruler of this world is coming, Jesus said. He's going to come right at me, but he has nothing in me. And I want you to know that when the ruler of this world comes to me, guess what, folks? He finds plenty in me. Yeah. See, you step over that line and you get on his turf and all pandemonium breaks loose. He targets you and he heads right in for your bullseye. And that's because there's so much here that I have put here, whether ignorantly or willfully, that he can pry on, he can twist, he can turn, and he can prod to discourage, dishearten, cause me to quit, to give up. And so Jabez ended his prayer by recognizing this incredible theological concept that the minute you break out and cross that line, you're going to be a target. You're going to be a target. Why? Because this earth is Satan's, unfortunately. You see, when Adam gave dominion, when God gave Adam dominion, it was his. But who did he give dominion to? Satan, when he tempted him. He won dominion, fair and square. God recognizes it, law and order. So the alpha of this world is none other than Satan. Take a look at 2 Chronicles 44. Second Corinthians. I want you to see what Paul says here. This is really important. We are no match for Satan, folks. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Here's how Paul puts it. By the way, in the King James, in those two versions, in John 12 and John 14, it says the prince of this world. My Bible says the ruler of this world. Okay? Look what Paul says in verse 4. Let me do 3. "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the god of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." The god of this world is Satan. And he's trying to blind eyes to the glory of God, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So all pandemonium breaks loose, just like it does in that silly game that I enjoy playing. Only I'm not so fast like I used to be, Kevin. All pandemonium breaks loose because we move into the ground of Satan that's his. And now we see why Jabez uttered that utterance. Lord, keep me from evil. I need your help. Our young people, our children need to understand this issue. That little hymn that we sing that's old and archaic and in the hymnal is so right when it says this world is not our home. We're just passing through because it's the enemy's land. And so if you choose to step over the line, folks, watch out. Well, why else did he pray that prayer? Folks, he prayed that prayer because you cannot trust yourself. That's number two. Number one is it's his ground. Number two is you can't trust yourself. You can't. That's why he prayed that prayer. Lord, you got to keep me from evil. Okay, Bible scholars, tell me what it says in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, that you should all know by heart. Our children need to memorize this verse. Boy, you're faster than the early service. Just as crowded, but a lot slower. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Our children need to understand that the heart is opposed to God. It is desperately wicked. You can't even know it. You think you know it, but you don't. I think I know it, but I don't. You see, not only when we step over that line, do we step onto the enemy ground, but we can't even trust ourselves. Because our characters are corrupted, they're fallen. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So Jabez prayed that. He closed his prayer with this. You know, I used to think as a Christian, like I used to drink excessively. I used to think I had to go into a bar and sit there and face that. I'm a Christian now. I'm reformed. I can do that. And I want to tell you something. You know what I learned, folks? The smartest thing to do is stay away. That's exactly what Jabez was saying. He didn't say, when a temptation comes, deliver me. He didn't say that. Did you hear what he prayed? Keep me from the temptation. Because he knew something that you and I need to catch on to. We are not strong enough to bear up under these things, folks. Because it's the enemy's ground, and because we can't trust ourselves. We need to teach this to our children. They have to understand the issues. You know, I watch teenagers especially, they get to a certain age, like 13, and all of a sudden mom and dad say, do something. They go, no, I'm not going to do it. And you know, God put this pecking order in existence because mom and dad know better. And that the children are to submit to the parents the way the parents should submit to God. By the way, part of the problem is the parents aren't submitting to God, folks. But the next time you teenagers want to look at your parents and rip on them for what they're asking you to do or not to do, that's within the bounds of God's Bible, I want you to know that that welling up inside of you is evil. It isn't good. And the expression of it only reinforces the fallen character. And that's the battle. And God give these young people, Christian mothers and fathers, who can deal with it intellectually and emotionally in a way that it should be, instead of anger and hatred and battle. Because we got to see it spiritually. You see? So when you break out, folks, all pandemonium breaks loose because it's Satan's ground and you can't trust yourself. What did the wisest man say? We want our young people to read the book of Proverbs. The young people need to read the book of Proverbs. And what did the wisest man write? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will direct your paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Instead, fear the Lord, and you will depart from evil. It's Proverbs 3, 5, 6, and 7. We can't trust ourselves. We must trust God. That's why pandemonium breaks loose when you cross the line. Jabez understood it. He's teaching us an incredibly deep theological concept when he closed his prayer by saying, "Don't save me during temptation. Save me from temptation." By the way, let's take a look at a biblical example here. When is perhaps your weakest moment? No, that's not fair. I'm not going to do that. I'll do it this way, because I know in Desire of Ages it said that Satan watches for you to be at your lowest point. Then he comes to you in your weakest area. You know that? She said that in the Desire of Ages. I never forgot that. But let's take the example of Elijah. Okay? I'm going to give you a test. Ready? On Mount Carmel, how many prophets did Elijah face by himself? I hear 450. 490. Now, I'm not going to make this an auction and start saying, "Do I hear?" Okay, I want you to know something. Here's Elijah all by himself on Mount Carmel. He's facing off against the king and his entourage, his advisors, the troops, and 850 prophets. The Bible says 450 prophets of Baal and 400 of Ashtaroth. And he sat there all day under pressure and intense emotional strain and agony, facing them by himself. Fire comes down from heaven, consumes his offering. He orders the soldiers down to kill all 850 prophets. And he runs before the chariot home after he brings rain on by his prayer. And what happens a couple hours later? He's running for his life from a woman. Actually, he's a pretty smart guy. No. I'll tell you, one of the weakest times in our life is after a spiritual victory, folks. And it's true, Satan comes to us. And if we're not alert and aware, if we're not as astute as Jabez was, and pray the prayer, "Keep us from evil," we are fair prey, because we're on enemy's ground. He'll pick us off. He picked Elijah off. It's incredible. Have you ever really read the story very carefully? Do you realize that God instituted through him a fantastic revival and reformation, and shortly after it began, the leader of the revival and reformation was lost in the wilderness for months? And guess what happened to the revival and reformation? Guess. See, we need spiritual eyesight. We need to really see what's going on. Our children need to understand these issues. We can't trust ourselves. And so we have to pray this prayer. I want a church full of people that pray this prayer for themselves, for their family, and for the church. Watch out what God's going to do for us, and through us, and with us. We are going to experience things that we never dreamt He wanted us to experience, which will bring more joy than we've ever had before in anything else we've accomplished. Well, there's a third point. If you step across the line, all pandemonium breaks loose. Because first of all, you're on the enemy's ground. Secondly, you can't trust yourself. What are you going to do? You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no other way around it. Folks, you've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You must spend time with Him. The only way to have a relationship with anybody is to spend time together. Now, the way you do that with Jesus is you spend time Bible study, prayer, and sharing. Those three things are inseparable. And those three things will bring you closer to Christ in such a way that you will have the courage to step over the line and the faith to believe that He'll come along with you and He will buffer you as you move forward in that battle. See? You've got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. What did He say just prior to His crucifixion? He prayed a prayer in John 17, that's incredible. And I've got to highlight this, because if you were Jesus, wouldn't you want to get the most important information out to your people before you departed? Actually, take that back, departing. You'd want to get the most crucial information out to them just before the disaster occurred. I mean, imagine if you're one of the disciples and you're believing all this stuff in your head and suddenly there's Jesus on the cross dying. I want to tell you right now where my faith would be if that was me and I was one of those disciples. You know where my faith would be? Is Death Valley the lowest place on earth, or is it the Dead Sea? It'd be lower than the Dead Sea. That's where my faith would be. Because I had based it on all the wrong things. The disciples were destroyed. So before he left, he said to them in verse 3 of John 17, "This is life eternal." This is it. Here's what it is, guys. Here it is. I'm going to tell you. Are you ready? Here it is. This is it. This is life eternal. That they know Thee, the only true God, and they know Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. That is the only way we will get through the crisis. That is the only way we'll find the courage to step over the line. That is the only way that we'll stay over that line and be able to exist because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And so we see that Jabez closed his prayer and he shared with us an incredible theological concept that none of us need or ought to forget. Lord, keep me from evil. By the way, in the Lord's Prayer, I believe there's 50 words. The Lord's Prayer in Matthew, the 6th chapter. 50 words. Okay? Let's look at those 50 words, some of those 50 words. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. How many words is that? No, that's 9.5. Can't you people count? Come on. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, Lord. 10 words out of 50 is approximately 20%. 20% of the prayer is dealing with this very issue. That we cannot protect ourselves. We cannot trust ourselves. We're on the enemy's ground. He is stronger than we are. But with Jesus, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. We must have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Stephanias was a wise teacher, a sage of Greece. And he would not allow his grown sons and daughters to associate with those who are impure or unright. And one day his gentle, sweet Selena came to him and said, "Oh, Father, please let me go to Lucinda's. She's having this great feast and I want to be there." And the father looked at Selena and said, "No, my daughter, you may not go." "Oh, but Father, I am grown up now. I am mature. I should be able to understand and make my own decisions. Besides, Father, all my friends are going to be there. And what makes you think that I wouldn't be able to stand up under the pressure if she should choose something foolish, Father? Please." And instead of answering her, Stephanias silently reached out and he picked a coal from the hearth of the fireplace, a cold coal. He held it in his hand and he reached out and he said, "My daughter, take this. It will not burn you." And so she reached out her hand eagerly, but puzzled to know what her father was trying to convey. And he put that coal right there, and she brought it close to her, and she touched it like this, and she looked, and she went, "Huh." For there her beautiful white palm of her hand was covered with black soot. And when she just barely touched it like that, some of the soot fell and began to leave her beautiful white robe dirty. She said, "Father, one must be very careful when touching or handling a coal." Stephanas looked at his daughter and he says, "My daughter, I want you to note that though this coal did not burn you, it still blackened you. And so will it be if you come into contact with those who are unrighteous." And so Jabez prayed, "Keep me from evil." And so should we. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for challenging us this morning and enlightening us in our true case and situation, our true position in life, Lord. And would you help us to pray this prayer? I know things will begin to happen like you've intended for so long. And I just pray that our experience will grow and we will see a new dimension to life that we haven't picked up on before. Father, let decisions be made now. For I know that in every person here there's a call from you to them personally to come and join and to step over the line and to see that you can be trusted. And in so stepping over the line, even though pandemonium breaks loose, it'll be the most joy and peace that we've ever experienced. Father, let decisions be made to that end and bless us all. That you could be honored, you could be worshipped, you could be glorified through our every thought, our every word, our every deed. And thank you so much for never failing nor forsaking, because we pray in Jesus' powerful, precious name. Amen.